It's a great privilege to have a song leader like that right there. And when you see that age group as they're developing in the church, it gives you even more of a shot in the arm, so to speak. So great job, Kyle. And I want to do a little study with you tonight, what I call a quality spiritual life, Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. Book of Colossians is a little four-chapter book, but it has a lot of information in it of a practical nature. In chapter 1 is a discussion of who Christ really is, how that he goes back to the beginning of time and all the way to, in the first century, their current time in redemption. He created all things, and now he has provided a new creation in the creation of the spiritual world, as it were, the church. And then in chapter 2, it talks about the details of what Jesus did, particularly in connection to the law of Moses, how that he broke down the middle wall of partition. He nailed the law, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances and so forth. When you come to the end of chapter 2, he talks about if you be dead with Christ, there are certain things that follow. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ. So this is the section we're in now. Being dead with Christ, buried with Christ, and risen with Christ, that's all talking about the concept of being baptized into Christ. Crucifying the old man, died with Christ, buried with Christ in baptism, and raised to walk a new life. Well, everyone has a spiritual life. It just may not be a great quality spiritual life. Whether even people realize they have a soul or not, we do. They do. And I think we all want a true quality of life, not just in this world, but especially as it relates to a relationship to God and also eternal life. Notice as you look again back in this paragraph, he's talking about a raised life. A raised life. That implies that there's been a death. That there has been something over here that has been put to death. So the quality of life, number one, is summarized in the idea that sin no longer has the captive nature to it, to our thinking and our ambitions, as it used to. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, of being a new creature in Christ. So, if you be raised or risen with Christ. In other words, when Christ was raised from the dead, he dies no more. He has a glorified life. Spiritually speaking, being raised from the watery grave of baptism, you have a new life. I have a new life. And what does that mean as I keep on living in this world? Because I know I'm still mortal in this world, and I want a great life. Obviously, I want the life to come in heaven. But how does all of that translate? Well, in this little paragraph, here's what he says. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? For, because you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Interesting concept. With Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. And that's the paragraph, verses 1 to 4. Okay? This raised life has three particulars about it in that paragraph. Number one, there is a seeking. He says, seek those things which are above. The word literally means, and it's an imperative, which is a command, it means keep on doing it. You have been doing it in the past, keep on doing it. If you didn't seek the things that are of heaven, you wouldn't have obeyed the gospel to begin with. Keep on seeking that, is the idea. Second thing is, set your mind on something. And we'll talk about that when we get to that point in verse 2. Set your affections, King James says. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And then the reason is, because you are dead and your life is hidden. That's perfect tense in the Greek. It means has been hidden. There is something that you have from the day you were baptized in Christ that connects you with God. This life of God that's in Christ. So he's talking about a security here, a protection. And what better illustration that I will use than what happened this week with our storm shelter. Okay, so there's three ideas about the quality spiritual life. And by the way, this is just the beginning of chapter 3, so I would encourage you to read the rest of the verses, particularly down to verse 17, because beginning of verse 18 is a change of subject as it gets into the home, matters of the home and as masters and slaves and so forth, but particularly all the way down to verse 17. Seeking. Various verses in the New Testament also use this same word. Matter of fact, same Greek word as is found in Colossians 3 and 1, to seek. It means to look for something intently. The best illustration I could find in the New Testament is, you remember when Jesus was 12 years old and his parents took him to Jerusalem? This is in Luke chapter 2. And they observed the Passover. And after the Passover was over, Mary and Joseph headed back to Nazareth, headed back to Galilee. Jesus didn't go with them. As a matter of fact, it says they were a good ways away, maybe a day's journey away, and they thought he was among the people that were on the way. But he wasn't, was he? We know where he was. He was still in Jerusalem. You remember when Mary and Joseph realized that Joseph is not anywhere around? What did they do? They turned around, right? And the New Testament says, and they sought him. They sought him. As a matter of fact, when they did find him, Mary's statement to Jesus was, why have you basically done this? He said, why did you seek me? Know ye not I must be about my Father's business. So Jesus used to Mary his mother the very word we're studying right now, to seek out. By the way, I don't know if you've ever lost a child in a department store or whatever, but I have. Okay, and I told him not to tell his mama about the incident, but so I had to fib on myself. I had to tell her in case he did sneak up and tell her anyway. It was in Walmart in Decatur, and I got this little call over the PA system. By the way, if there's a, his mama down here gave his name, Daniel Clark. If his mama will come to the information center, she can pick up his child. And I walked out and says, I'm not his mama, I'm his dad. Okay. He wanted to know, where was I? And I said, well, where were you? Because he was looking for me, and I was looking for him, and we were almost in opposite ends of the store. But by the way, panic can set in. As a matter of fact, when I asked a woman in Walmart in the toy section, because by the way, that's what Walmart is to him, was the toy section. Okay, have you seen a little toe-headed kid about this high? You know, a little blonde-headed kid about this high? And she says, no, but you stay right here. And immediately she got on the phone and called the front desk. And they shut Walmart down. By the way, I made Walmart in Decatur shut down until that boy was found. Because they have a plan that goes into action if your child's missing and you report it. They have a plan for that. And by the way, all the employees in Walmart go looking for your child too. By the way, he wasn't hard to find. He was the one squalling, you know, streaming tears down his eyes. So they knew something was up. You seek after. Diligently seek after. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Same word. Kingdom of God and his righteousness. By the way, seek. What's the priority? Seek first. Now, this is before Paul was ever converted. Jesus said that in Matthew 6:33. Hebrews 11:13-14, the writer in Hebrews says, these all died in faith. All these in Hebrews 11 that were dead. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Seek a country. Why did people like Abel and Enoch and Noah, and Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, why did they all choose to abandon the pleasures and the riches of this world for a better country that they couldn't see yet? Because heaven meant more to them than anything down here on this earth. Okay, that's what Colossians 3:1 means. Seek those things which are above. Those who are in heaven, that which is heaven. In 1 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11, you find this word. He that will love life, see good days, let him do it. Let him refrain his lips from speaking guile, that he speaks no evil. That he does good, that he seeks peace and pursues it. Seeks peace. In other words, if I want a good life now, according to 1 Peter 3, by way which is a quotation from Psalm 34 in the Old Testament, what do I want to seek? War? Anger? Strife? Do I want to stir up something just so I can sit back and watch it happen? No. Seek peace. He seeks peace and he pursues it. By the way, is heaven a place of peace? Yes. So every good quality that there is in the world that is of any great quality to it is a spiritual quality. If we look for it out here in the things of the world, we're not going to find it. Matter of fact, the world is looking for what you and I as a Christian already have. That's sort of the bottom line of this. Okay? So what is a great quality spiritual life around? It's a seeking after something far greater than this world. Now that gets us to the next point, where it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection. That is from one word, and it literally meant to put your mind on it. To set your mind on it. Okay? How many of you have ever had a parent tell you when they wanted you to do something when you were a child, or maybe you're a child now and you've heard this before, you mind me. Mind me. What do they mean by mind me? That meant do what I told you to do. Or don't do what I told you not to do. Mind me. In other words, my mind told your mind X or Y, and your mind is to do what my mind told you to do. Well, that's a lot different from set your affection, isn't it? In 1 Corinthians 13:11, you find this word, same word, by the way, where it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. The word understood there is the same word for set your affections on. It don't seem right, does it? Seems like there's a lot of difference here in the translation. But it literally carries with the idea of there is a way that my mind operates. This is how I understand things. For example, I'll go back to Daniel and Walmart. If you were to ask Daniel, okay, Daniel, we need to go to Walmart. Daniel's only need at Walmart was the toy department. Did you care anything about the fabric department that Pam used to go to? Food? Yeah, if it was his food, he minded it, but he didn't mind anything else about it. You know, broccoli? Oh, get out of here. Okay. Maybe some milk, maybe my favorite sugary cereal that would bounce me off the wall in three, you know, like a pinball, whatever the case might be. That's where I set my affections on. Okay? And we say, well, that's a child. By the way, Daniel Clark now is 28 years old, and when he goes to Walmart, I'm not real sure he's going ever to the toy department. Okay? I don't know where he goes. I hadn't been with him lately to Walmart, but I take it it's not the toy department to buy, you know, the latest Hot Wheel or the latest Ninja Turtle or whatever. But when he was a child, that was where his affections were. When he became a man, what happened? My understanding alters. It's totally different. Totally different. Okay? When I was not a Christian, there was a certain thing I thought about. Now that I've been raised with Christ, I think totally different. This is the concept he's talking about. It's a totally different way of the way you process information. Someone over here says, you know, lie, cheat, steal, whatever, get ahead. I was listening to the radio or some kind of, it was on the radio. I was trying to think what channel it was this past week. There is a fellow down at Florida State, they tell me, plays quarterback for that team, recently had a little brush with the law. And from what I understand, he walked out of a store with $32 worth of seafood, and he didn't pay for it. By the way, Heisman Trophy winner walks out of a store with $32 worth of seafood, didn't pay for it. Okay, by the way, his baseball coach kicks him off the team or suspends him, right? According to the news, wonder what his football coach is going to do with him. But that remains to be seen, right? Okay. So the question is, did he learn from it? See, a lot of people make mistakes. I make mistakes. The question is, do I learn from them? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If he keeps repeating this activity, where is his affections? Where does he understand? Or what does he not understand? Okay? Well, I wanted the seafood. My friends wanted the seafood. I'm Jameis Winston. By the way, they got T-shirts down there in the state of Florida that's already been made up this week. Famous Jameis Seafood. Literally. Got them out. They've already printed the T-shirts. About this one instance, by the way, that's a Florida Gator fan that made the T-shirts out, which you can understand why. But when I was a child, that's how I thought. When I became a man, that's not how I think. When I was a non-Christian, this is how I thought. When I became a Christian, this is how I think. This is my affections. This is my quality of life. In Philippians 2, verse 5 and following, that's what the two F's mean, all the way down to verse 12, this is the same word of set your affections. And here's what it says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind is the same word as set your affections on in Colossians 3 and verse 2. What do you mean, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likes of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, what is the mind of Christ? It's to be a servant even to the death of the cross. So that when you come down to verse 12, he says, wherefore, as you have obeyed, not as much as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's the conclusion of his point. Here is the mind of Christ, left heaven where you're trying to go, became a man what you are, served as a man, died as a man, exalted now at the right hand of God, and every knee and every tongue is going to bow and confess that he's Lord to the glory of the Father. Therefore, whether I'm here, whether I'm not here, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do like he would have done. Serve. Let this mind. Craig Ledbetter mentioned tonight in the elders' deacon meetings that there were some people who came to the storm shelter that wanted to be served, not to serve. You ever known anybody to take advantage of anybody's generosity? I told you about this morning about out at Mount Carmel where they had all the clothes laid out on that particular room, and people that weren't even victims just helped themselves to free clothes. You know, doors open. Nobody seems to be policing. You're not taking IDs. You're not asking any questions. You know, coming off the street. Hey, I'd like a free pair of blue jeans too. I don't care if they are stone washed and being worn by whoever. Free's free, right? If nothing else, I'll put it in a yard sale and get money out of it. Nobody thinks that way. Nobody in this world would ever take advantage of something like that. Not in the South. Not in the Bible Belt. Yes. Where's your affection? My affection is me. Me, myself, and I. Any way I can get ahead. I didn't tell you the rest of the conversation I heard on the radio. There was a gentleman that called in and they said something to the effect, would you have ever stolen this seafood in a store? Now here's this guy's comment. He said, they steal from me already by the price they put on it. You can't tell me that they haven't hiked that price up to take advantage of me. So why can't I go ahead and just get my part that is my part? Sure, I'd have taken $20 out of that store. They're not going to miss it. If I could have got away with it, I'd have done it. And the announcer said, you mean to tell me you really would have done that? He said, they steal from me every day. I just get my cut. Thank you for your call, he said. That's America, folks. This is the world we're living in. People think in those terms. You see, it's not really stealing, is it? It's not really stealing because it's already hiked up to where it's highway robbery. That'd be like, what's gas prices right now? By the way, are they going to $4 by the summer? I don't know. It looks like every time I turn the corner at East Limestone, the number just keeps ticking up. So what do you do? Well, what I'm going to do out here is I'm going to find a way to gouge the pump. They gouging me, I'm going to gouge the pump. Oh, what do you mean by that? I'll find some little trick by which to get some extra gallon in here or half gallon or pint or nickel's worth or whatever. Because you can't tell me they're not stealing from me. So I'll just like do unto them before they do unto me. I'll just get back. Nobody operates that on their job. Nobody does their neighbors that way. Nobody does their income taxes that way. By the way, tax season's over. Nobody does their income taxes that way. Because you see, the federal government's not going to use the money wisely anyway. Why should I give them more money to abuse? Child of God, don't think that way. If you be risen with Christ, here's your King, the Christ. You set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. In Colossians 4 and verse 6, Paul says, with reference to them making a Paul and Apollos and Peter, Cephas, separate as though they're equal to Christ, he said, these things I have transferred in a figure unto Apollos and myself, that no man should think of anyone above that which is written, but that you might think soberly. And not be puffed up one against another. In other words, Paul said, Paul and Apollos, we're just fellow workers in the kingdom of God. Yes, I'm an apostle and he's not, but that's not the point. The point is, we're trying to work together to get the same job done. So that God be glorified. I mean, let's imagine, here's Ray Kimig. Ray's been very instrumental this week, along with Tommy Sprague, by the way, and doing a lot of work that has to do with them out here at West Limestone. And I saw crews going in many different directions of our congregation. Whether you know that or not, that's a fact. Matter of fact, it's going to continue to do that as long as there's a need, I take it. Can you imagine Ray getting up a crew and then Tommy getting up a crew? Let's just pick on Ray and Tommy tonight, but they don't do this. Trust me, they have not done this, likely not to do that. And Ray says, we're not getting enough credit, Tommy. We want the worst of the worst out here in West Limestone, and that's who we're going to have. By the way, when Channel 48 news comes up, you send them so they can talk to me. And Tommy says, no, we're not going to do that. Channel 48 is going to talk to me. By the way, not only 48, 31, 54, and 19. And if they come out of Jacksonville, Florida, like Chauncey Glover did, for national news, man, when Chauncey shows up, tell him I'm ready to be mic'd up. By the way, y'all can have all that now you want. I've had my share of all that. Paul would say, Apollos and I are on the same page. Ray would say, Tommy would say, we're just fellow workers in the same work. The whole point is, we want God to get the credit. Our affection is not to get the credit. Our affection, our mind, the way we operate and think is that God be glorified in all things. We're just the instruments, the tools in God's hands to do it. So that's what a person who's risen with Christ does. He seeks those things that are above. He sets his affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Now then, security in Christ. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Let's go to the Old Testament just a second. Turn your Bible to Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32, verses 1 and 2. When I was looking at this particular concept, these verses came up in my Bible. Actually, in a concordance I was studying as well. Isaiah 32, verse 1 says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." In other words, whoever is in authority rules according to a certain way. He doesn't abuse power. He lives by the rule of law. He's not the law. He lives by the law. Then watch verse 2. "And a man, shall be a hiding place from the wind, and a covering from a tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land." A man will be the hiding place. Well, I know what a storm shelter is, but that's not a man, is it? Storm shelter is a place, either safe room or something underground. The Bible says the real security place is in a man. Psalm 32, I don't know if you're familiar with the nature of Psalm 32. That's David's sin. "Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whom the Lord does not impute iniquity," after he'd sinned with Bathsheba, allowed for Uriah to be put to death. In verse 7, "Thou art my hiding place." David's talking to God. "Thou art my hiding place." Psalm 119, verse 114 says, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. Thy word," or "I hope in thy word." My shield, protection in military. "You are my hiding place. For you are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God." Here's how I'm going to illustrate it. Let's take a small child who is absolutely terrified of tornadoes. By the way, in our part of the world, that would be not hard for us to imagine, right? Terrified. Just even the mention of it sends off a panic. You know, small panic. The parent tells the child, "Get in the car, we're going to the shelter. We're going to the storm pit." By the way, there's one over here at Bethel. We're going to Bethel. All the way to the parking lot, sees all the storm, the tempest all around. Looks like it's getting worse. Parent says, "Don't worry, we're going to make it. We'll be fine." Stopped in the parking lot. Everybody bails out of the car. Parent grabs a child's hand. Maybe even picks the child up off the ground. The parent doesn't walk up to the door of the storm shelter and say, "All right, go in the hole right there. I'm getting back in the car and going home." What kind of real secure feeling would that child have, even if that child went down to that storm shelter, though there would be people down there to tend to that child, to the security and the safety of that child, if the parent don't get in the hole too? "Well, I brought you to shelter. Go down in that hole, but I'm not going in it." What do you think that child's going to think? "Well, if you're not getting in, I'm not getting in that." What if the parent says, "We're both going down in here, and should it come a direct hit straight over the building," by the way, in 11, it took a direct hit, right? Let's say the parent grabs the child in the arms and holds the child close to the parent in the storm shelter. What the child is in the parent, or technically, with the parent in the hiding place. Now, how much more secure could a child be than in their parents' arms in the hiding place? I'm not down here by myself. I'm in my parents' arms in the hiding place, in the shelter. You can't get more secure than that to a child. The Bible says your life is dead. You became a Christian, your life is dead. Doesn't mean you're not alive. But you have a security. You are in Christ. You're with Christ in God. You're doubly secure. That doesn't mean you couldn't lose your salvation if you left Christ. What it means is, as long as you keep on staying in Christ, you will keep on staying in God. And that's in essence what the book of 1 John is all about in your New Testament. These things I've written unto you that you may know you have eternal life. Know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life. How? If you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing us from all sin. 1 John 1:7, 1 John 5:13. There's a security here that's tied. The appearance then in verse 4 of Christ. I've set my affections on things above. I'm seeking that which is above. My security is in Christ, that's in God. When He shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. How much better can that get? We sing songs about heaven. On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. They hymned their king in strains divine. I heard the song and strove to join. Come we that love the Lord, let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, and thus surround the throne. We are marching to Zion. And one song right after another comes to mind. Let storms, let pestilence, let collapse of an economy, let anything and everything the world would panic over at the drop of a hat. Take the child of God who knows where his hope lies. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. Set my affections on things that are above. And my security is with Christ in God. And when He appears, I'll appear in glory too. That's a great paragraph, isn't it? Because out of that comes the responsibilities of the Christian life. But Paul does not start this section of the responsibilities of living the Christian life as a Christian in the church, as a wife in the home, as a husband in the home, as a child in the home, as a parent in the home, as a master to his slave, as a slave to his master. He doesn't start all that section without talking about, here's what you have in Christ. And by having that, now we'll move forward. Because here's your motivation. If you're here tonight, you're not a child of God, here to encourage you. We're all here to encourage you in the singing of the song. If you're subject to heaven's invitation to be baptized or to come back to your first love, won't you then come? While all together, we stand and sing.
Shed for